Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Schitt's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and we are talking about Schitt's Creek, Season 4, Episode 12, Singles Week. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who would never leave their phone anywhere they're not supposed to, and also loves Mariah Carey, and also so many other references I want to make, but I can't. Stuart!
I will say, my phone is always on silent, and apparently this is like peak millennial behavior, because we were the ones sneaking our phones, like the first generation to have phones at school. And so it's like permanently on silent. And I don't think my phone has ever been out loud ever.
Yeah, I don't trust anyone under the age of like 40 who doesn't have their phone on silent at all times. Like the amount of notifications I get. Like,
Can't be dinging all day long. Like,
plus, who actually calls someone? Who calls someone when...
Psychopaths. What?
That's what I'm saying. No one calls anyone without first sending them a message like, hey, you all right? You okay? You there? Can I call you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything big. It's not a tragedy. It's not an emergency.
And doing the real millennial thing of like, I'm just needing to speak because, and then you do a big explainer, which is probably longer than the conversation you will have, just to reassure them that it's nothing bad, nothing too arduous.
Yes.
It's just a quick check-in or something. Yeah.
Also,
can I tell you, unannounced.
Originally, I forgot to scroll before we started recording the podcast, but Will gave me some suggestions as to how to intro you. I'm joined by someone who is basically the human equivalent of the inside of a roasted marshmallow. that was one. And the other one was someone who is certainly a Miranda. Because of the Sex and the City talk at the very beginning of the episode.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Kind of a compliment, kind of not, because I know who Miranda is. And I know that Miranda can be, she can be feisty at times.
Sure.
But it's like real mixed. Everyone wants to be a Samantha, right?
That's the thing. In the year 2025, everyone wants to be Samantha. Samantha is very sex positive. She's very fun. She's very commanding. I think everyone wants to be a Samantha. Not all of us can be Samanthas. In my opinion, you don't want to be called a Carrie or a Charlotte. I feel like that's an insult.
Yeah.
Just being
a Carrie or a Charlotte is probably the worst thing. And also, absolutely F Sarah Jessica Parker. Like, Kim Cattrall all the way. Like, I'm on her side of this whole rivalry situation.
Yeah, we are.
I know nothing about what's going on. I've just seen a really catchy Instagram post, but I will take sides. Absolutely.
Exactly. Anyway. I didn't even say this at the top of the podcast. It's the finale. We're talking about the finale of season 4. Now, keep in mind, this is Canadian, so it's also kind of part British in that we will have a special. The Brits love a short season and then a special. And
oh yeah. Six we'll episodes in the Christmas special. Oh, give it to me. Yeah, pump it straight into my veins. Love it.
And you know, spoiler alert, it will be a Christmas special. The name of the next episode is Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose. So I mean,
Merry Christmas,
like
Johnny Rose. Christmas. Here is your LVP trophy for the last three seasons.
Stop. Well, spoiling the guest a little bit, I did invite my husband to come on and chat with us about this episode, because so he can, defend his guy, you know, as they say.
He can
even
defend
said
all he likes.
A little bit of feedback. He was like, no, I would have given Jocelyn a disgruntled pelican point for forcing David to throw her a baby shower for baby sprinkle.
That's a very interesting and probably a worthy take, were it not completely wrong. Johnny totally deserved it. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
not gonna change.
We're talking about Singles Week. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Talking Shit. Watch us on YouTube. We have visual aids sometimes when Moira decides to wear wigs. But she isn't this episode, even though it's the finale.
Do you wear wigs? When will you wear wigs?
Exactly. We need to ask her. But before we do all of that, of course, we have to recap the episode just in case. I don't know why people wouldn't rewatch this episode. Like, you probably should, because it's incredible and you probably want to. But just in case you didn't, here's a little summary of what happened. Congratulations are in order, and we have a lot to celebrate in this episode of Schitt's Creek, because Singles Week has started and Alexis is determined to make it a hit. Unfortunately, things get sidelined when Moira has to accompany a laboring Jocelyn to the hospital, even though she definitely didn't drive her. And Moira has the lock and keys for the lock and key game, so Alexis has to make up something on the fly. All's well that ends well, though, when Alexis sets up a speed dating game and Moira is able to see how self-sufficient and successful Alexis has become. Roland barely makes it to the hospital in time because Johnny and Stevie took his phone away during a meeting, and Roland did not take it back with him when he went to run errands. I don't know how he survived in the truck without music, podcasts, any of those things, but that's his own cross to bear.
You think Roland's truck connects to a phone in any way, shape, or form, Jess? That is the most
optimistic take ever. He has like CDs or tape cassettes in there.
He's probably got a vinyl player hooked up to the speakers in his bloody truck.
Well, either way, he doesn't have his phone, and he almost misses the birth of his baby. But to thank Moira for all her help, they name the baby Roland Moira, because why wouldn't they?
Incredible. Just of all the guesses for what possible name it could be, had no idea that would be it.
Yeah. But that's not what we care about most, is it? No, not even a little bit. Patrick tells David, I love you, but she knows we'll freak David out. David has a heart-to-heart with a newly single Ted about giving Alexis a second chance. And in giving Ted said advice, he realizes he shouldn't squander an opportunity to tell Patrick how much he loves him. On top of all those mushy-gushy Mariah Carey moments, Ted tells Alexis he wants to be with her, and then they kiss, and then we all died because it was the best. And there are like 10 GIF moments in this one episode alone. Stuart, that's our episode.
So many gifable moments. I love it whenever I'm watching the show and I see something like in GIF form that I've seen multiple times before, and I'm like, oh, that's the context. Because I always see them like out of context. Like the one,
clapping.
I'm obsessed with that. David clapping. Yeah. Like there's so many.
Have you seen the Moira? Kiss. I'll tell you what I'm about to do with her arm.
I did in this one.
Because that's one of my favorites, and I've not been able to use it because I don't want to use GIFs that you haven't yet seen. And I just love, because it's, you don't know the context of like Alexis did this with her hands first. If you're watching us on YouTube, this is a great time to find us. She's like moving her hands back and forth, and then Moira mimics her. I'll tell you what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. It's great. I love this episode so much because like every storyline is great. There's not a dud in the bunch.
10 out of 10 for all of them. Like we're giving away the endings of like how this podcast is going to go, but like riding high, it was solid across the board. It was also incredibly well paced. I don't think there was a moment of like really kind of like anything dead happening at all in terms of like, oh, a bit of a lull. And I think like there was a clear contender for what was the C storyline, and still that hit. Like it was all good. No notes. Yep. Podcast over. It's great.
That's it. We're done here. We've done everything we need to do. Where do you want to start, Stuart? Because we have like Jocelyn giving birth. We have Patrick and David, which leads us to Alexis and Ted. We have the whole Singles Week event. Where do you want to start?
Should we get what I think is the C-tier story out of the way, which is Jocelyn's birth? Like,
no, not Jocelyn's birth, I guess. Jocelyn.
Who would have thought? Like, because I mean, this is the thing that has been kind of like teased all season. It was the pregnancy test was like such a, well, not a big mystery. It's not like a episode arc, but it was a bit of a shock. Like finding out that Jocelyn was the one that was pregnant. This was hilarious. Firstly, for the fact that like, obviously when Roland has his phone pretty much taken away from him, which was, why would anyone have their phone on? Like it's just such boomer behavior. Like get that shit on silent.
Put it on silent. Even vibrate is better than having a ringer. Like, I'm just saying, It's just, it's too much. But here's the other thing. Like, how does the phone just sit there all day? How do you not think? I don't know. Maybe I'm a millennial who's just too connected to her phone. But, like, I'm not leaving a room without picking my phone up, let alone leaving the house without my phone, like driving around without it. Wouldn't you think he'd need it? Like, here's the thing. Maybe this isn't Roland. I'm just attributing things to a character that it makes no sense to attribute things to. Like, he probably uses a pencil and paper for any list that he needs of things to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine that Roland's phone is used for anything other than receiving phone calls and playing games. Like, and I guarantee his text size is huge as well.
Very big,
like,
font.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Everything's in light mode. Yeah.
Oh no, my eyes.
Yeah.
I can think of like 10 things I would have to use my phone for on this errand that Roland is taking. Like, truly. Okay. Let me count, right? Number one, music/podcasts for the road. Number two, definitely where I'm keeping said list is on my phone, not paper pencil. Number three, what if I have a question about one of the things on the list and I need to call Johnny or Stevie? Number four, directions. I don't know where I'm going. I never know where I'm going. So navigation.
Even if it's a route that you do know, you need to know the traffic status of everything. Well, if there's the traffic, you want to avoid it, right?
Yeah, no, I'm very tapped in. I can never murder anyone because I'm always using Waze to get everywhere, and it'd be really easy to
unless you conveniently murder someone on your usual routes where you
I'd
drive.
Have to murder them on my route. Yeah, otherwise they'd know. So I think that's the thing. Like, I could think of 20 reasons I need my phone. However, I do think it is feasible that Roland wouldn't have noticed. Can I tell you I'm a nitpick. And I'm a nitpicker, so I will do it.
On this podcast? What?
I know the audacity of me. I just feel like when Stevie calls Roland to like check in on where he's been and his phone is on the coffee table in the lobby and it vibrates when she does that, or it makes a noise when she does that. You're telling me you didn't hear the 20 other notifications that Jocelyn sent that she was having a baby? Like, what's going on with that? What's going on? Are you busy? Yeah. Maybe they're busy. Maybe they're not in the lobby.
Maybe they're not in the lobby, which could explain why it hasn't gone walkies as well. Because I imagine with that much foot traffic in the like hotel lobby, that maybe someone might have just, you know,
it hasn't gone. Excuse me,
walkies gone for a walk. Do you not refer to that to something being pinched? Is that just a Britishism? No, it's not.
I love when I learn new things on this podcast. I love when it happens live. It's so organic, because usually it doesn't happen on the podcast. I have to bring it up. It goes walkies.
Yeah, it goes.
This makes it sound like you're talking to your dog and like, do you want to go walkies?
Yeah. Because it's a nice way of saying it's been lost or stolen. Yeah, because it goes for a
walk. Five finger discounted.
It just goes for a wander.
Walkies. I love it anyway. So much. Do you have walkie-talkies? Do you call them that?
I really wanted to make up some really absurd name there, but my brain just was not firing as quickly. I was like, oh, we call them something absurd. Like, we have walkie-talkies.
Okay, I'm just wondering about walkies. Those walkies. I'm not going to be able to get off of that ever. I don't think this is the kind of place where that. It's just a small town. Like, are they really getting that many calls?
Canada as well, isn't it? They're all lovely. It's
too nice.
There.
They're gonna be like, excuse me, do you have a lost and found here? I found a phone. I don't know why that's my Canadian voice. Either way, I love that Moira is the one who ends up having to accompany Jocelyn. Like, probably David is a worse person, but I do still think I would prefer Alexis or Johnny before Moira, even though Moira has birthed two children.
Yeah, I mean, she'd take your mind off of it quite well, perhaps, but she would just make it all about herself.
Focused on her own stuff.
Yeah, like I feel like she would take the burden off of you, not in a nice way. I think she would just forcibly take it off of you.
Yeah, you mean
project,
like,
it onto herself,
and also by not driving. To not be the one driving the car.
Well, no. She did say that Jocelyn insisted. And I kind of do take her
word. I don't believe
that
at all. I think Jocelyn was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll drive then. I think that's what
happened. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit too apologetic, but I kind of believe that Jocelyn would be like, no, 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 I need to do this to take my mind
she
off of it.
Screaming behind the front wheel, okay?
Some people drive like that. Some people are really nervous drivers.
Is that what happens in the UK? People just scream. That's
through central London sometimes.
So Jocelyn gives birth to a baby boy, Roland Moira, and... Okay, I don't know that I've ever related to Johnny and Moira more than when they're in the hospital room and immediately they're like, hold the baby. And they're like, no, no, thank you. Hold the baby. It's like, stop trying to make people hold your baby. Okay, like, first of all, that baby literally just came out of your body. Like, I don't want to risk dropping it. And also, like, that's a brand new baby that is like, in my opinion, delicate cargo. And I don't want to hold your baby. I never want to hold your baby.
I mean, I feel like there are some times, like I really am someone that hates obligation and things that are expected.
You're going to say hates baby.
I mean, that as well. I mean, kind of, to a degree. But like, I kind of feel like it is a special thing to like have a little bebe. And so, of course, like you kind of have to indulge the parents a little bit. At least if it's on the day that they've just given birth, yes.
I think here are my exceptions to my rule of not holding brand new babies. My exceptions are as follows. One, if it is a niece or nephew, I feel like, yeah, okay, great. I will hold said baby. Two, if it is named after me, then I feel like there is a sense of obligation. So maybe Moira has to. Johnny doesn't have to hold that baby.
Does the named after you count for a middle name? Like, in the sense of Roland
well,
Moira?
I think so. Especially because it's Moira. And Moira is both a very unique name and also generally used for a girl. And not to say you do whatever you want with your baby's names. Roland Moira, quite the mouthful.
The thing I like about this whole thing is that Moira, she's recovering. Because we've had her losing her name away from things that have been named after her. Like the theater got taken away. So, I mean, her stock is going up in
she
terms
still
of
has Moira
being
Rose's
named after.
Garden or Moira's Rose's Garden or whatever the heck it is.
Moira Rose's Garden.
Something like that. She still has that.
Bank number insert here. So, yeah, like her stock of like things being named after her is going up. So, I mean, like she should be very thankful of it.
Sure, I just don't want to hold a baby. That's the thing. Like people assume everyone wants to hold a baby, that everyone thinks babies are cute. I got news for you. If you pushed a baby out, it looks terrible. And the reason is because if you, and this is not any judgment, this is on all babies, okay? Because what happens is it squishes their little heads. And so they have like weird cone heads and they also just look traumatized because you just shoved them out a tiny hole. Of course they're going to look traumatized. Like a C-section baby probably doesn't look as weird, but like most little newborn babies look like aliens.
I mean, they all kind of do look like aliens. The head thing is just making me think of a quote from West Wing where Toby Ziegler, like, he's like, oh, babies come with hats because they all just wear hats. And I'm just realizing why. Because they're covering up the little like squishy head shape.
Baby's heads aren't cold, they're just ugly.
They kind of can be adorable in a way. Like, I'm not gonna be that kind of like, I mean, like they're like, when they're quiet, they're like little, they're teeny tiny, they've got this like cute little, I just want to squish them kind of thing. But like, that's about
here's
it, like,
here's the difference. I don't even care. I'm gonna say, when have I held back, you know? There's a difference between being universally adorable, like a puppy, where everyone can agree puppies are cute, even if they're not even dog people. They're like, that's a cute puppy. They got big old eyes and you're just a little fluffy, right? So cute. Babies, I think, understandably, biologically, evolutionarily speaking, their parents are supposed to think they're cute so that they'll take care of them. So, of course, the parent is going to be like, look at how cute my baby is. There was nothing in my DNA that says I have to think that baby is cute because evolution, you know, doesn't care about what I think about that baby. So babies look like little old men most of the time. I'm so sorry to say it, but it's like so true. Babies aren't cute until they're a little bit older and like have pudgy cheeks and like the fat rolls on their arms and like are just generally a little bit cuter because they can do things. Whereas like a baby that just came out literally can't do anything. Like it would die. So like it's not cute. I don't know.
Wow. Where they come for old men, like saying that the old men aren't cute. Sucks to be an old guy.
They can
right now, they are throwing their flat caps down on the ground in absolute rage at you.
It's okay. I think I'll make it. So I apologize to anyone who has like new babies. I'm sure you think your baby is so cute. And I'm sure it's very cute.
I think anyone listening that's just had a little bebé, I think you should send in some adorable baby pictures to Jess and just prove her wrong. Just inundate her with baby
pictures.
Just
know that when I say, oh my gosh, so cute, you're the exception, I'm probably lying.
Wow.
But Jocelyn does give birth. Moira is there to help her out along the way. I do appreciate that Moira did stay. Like, she didn't have to. She could have left. Like, she could have been like, oh, Alexis really can't handle this. And I do like the little talk that Jocelyn gives her. Jocelyn's going through a lot this episode. And she still is able to give Moira a little pep talk about like, Alexis is really great. And I really liked that because I think there's a difference when like, as a family member, I think you're supposed to be like, oh, my kid is incredible, blah, blah, blah. But there's a difference in having someone who's an outsider say that exact same thing about your kid.
Yeah, what Jocelyn says about Alexis is... Okay, this is where I'm going to have to just get real. This episode made me tear up a number of times. And I think this was the point where I was like, everything's just gone. It's just going to be this. I'm going to be really upset. And just was a mash of words and just like little tears building in my eyes. Because it was just so sweet what Jocelyn said about Alexis. And it's entirely true as well.
She says she's one of the most amazing people I've ever known. She's a hard worker. She's kind. And she's capable of so much more than people give her credit for. All of that feels so true.
And it's totally the insight that a teacher would have as well. Like, I think we kind of glossed over the fact that, like, Jocelyn was Alexis's teacher, even if it was for a short blip, just to kind of get her through high school. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's the kind of thing that a teacher does look out for, especially that thing about, like, being capable where people like don't give them credit. Like, I think Jocelyn sees that Alexis is switched on and she needs that push of encouragement that she gets, someone to like kind of just kind of like almost like bat them away from the when they're straying off the kind of path and just like no this way and give them a little bit of guidance. But it was a lovely bit of insight from Jocelyn. And of course, Moira makes it about herself. And it's like, that's one of the most generous compliments one could receive as a mother. And it's like, more compliment for your daughter, but sure.
It is a compliment to her. Just, I mean, you know, we can question how much she really had a hand in like raising Alexis. But yeah, I like that it's Jocelyn. I feel like Alexis and Jocelyn have had enough time together for it to make sense that it's Jocelyn, and Jocelyn and Moira also have a good relationship at this point that I think she is actually hearing this from Jocelyn. You know, she still ends up going to Singles Week and being like, oh my gosh, you did pull it off. And she's like shocked and then wants to take over. But let's talk about Singles Week now. The beginning of Singles Week in Schitt's Creek, Alexis throwing it. And naturally, of course, things get a little bit sidelined when Moira doesn't have the locks and keys. So she's not there. So they can't do the game. I like how Alexis pivots. I honestly also feel like if not for Moira being like, no, don't start without me and all this other stuff, Alexis probably pivots even earlier. And there's like less downtime of them just sitting around doing nothing.
I would have been so when I watched this episode, which was after we recorded last week. So we recorded it and I immediately kind of watched it because I was like, I'm not waiting. I have to. I hadn't been to a work event that I had last Friday, in which we did the literal like musical chair, like face to face with someone you've not met in the company.
No.
and have small talk with them. It wasn't musical chairs, but it was like this rotating thing of like, move along one, move along one.
How many minutes did you have to spend with them?
Too long. It was only like a minute or two that we kind of got to chat. I had the same conversation 10 times where I was like, oh
the weather is nice.
How long did it take you to get here? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, you live there? I've been there once.
Small talk. Yeah. I hate it. I'm not good at it and I don't like doing it and I become very awkward and then I talk too much because I don't know what else to say. And then I feel weird because I feel like I'm stuck there. Like this is not a huge tangent. It's just a tiny one. I promise. I had to get my car serviced and the woman at the shop was very nice. Like the lady at the front desk, she was like very kind, very nice. And I couldn't even help it. Like we're sitting there, she's ringing me up. It was like a super long silence. It's like super awkward. And so I'm like, oh, thanks, blah, 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 blah. And then we start talking about the tires and then the snow. And then it's like, now it's been 5 minutes and I just want to leave. But and I'm like slowly doing that thing where you like get closer and closer to the exit. And I'm like, how do I excuse myself from this guy? I don't want to be here. Stop making me do small talk.
It's my literal pet hate is when conversations just don't end. And when someone doesn't take the hint that the conversation has ended, and you're like, I'm trying to gesture to go, and
she's like still going. Nice.
I should probably get it going then. Yeah, and then they keep talking. You're like,
just get me out of this hell. Too nice. I don't want to talk to strangers. And I know people love talking to strangers. My co-host on Shit 90 Shows taught me knows too much about strangers' lives. I don't want to know anything about someone's life.
No.
You're really asking for the bare minimum here.
I'm the complete same. My friend Benj, like, will get in a conversation with absolute random people. Like, why? Just getting a train with someone. And, like, he'll just talk to the person opposite. And I'm like, they're going, headphones
has
in.
Has he heard of headphones? Yeah.
He's not talking to headphones. Like, I just don't. He's just such a lovely person and will talk the ear off of anyone. I am not that person. I will.
I'm not either.
If you become one of my nearest and dearest, love you. I'll talk your ear off. But if I don't know you, get away from me.
That's exactly how I am. To the point where I was like, I bring my headphones everywhere at this point. I always have something to listen to. That's the thing. I never want to be bored. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'll always have to have something in my ears. So I had my headphones and I'm walking into the library and this guy was a cute old man. Okay. I know one cute old man. I have no idea what his name is, where he's from. I don't know.
Or
his
was
story.
It just a really large new baby?
Was that baby knew how to play the ukulele, and that's impressive for a baby.
Wow. Yeah.
He was sitting outside the library just jamming on a ukulele. I recognized the song. I don't know what it was. Like, I've definitely heard it in like pop culture, something, you know, like a movie or a mm-hmm. show or something like that. But he's jamming it, and all I did, this is literally what I did, I didn't say a single word to the guy. I didn't even stop walking. I just shoved my headphone off my ear so I could just listen to him jam out for a minute till I get inside, then I put the headphone right back on. I just, you know, I don't want to talk to him, but like, it was mm-hmm. enjoyable. I thought it was quaint. It was very cute.
Did you
tip
him?
I don't know
him?
How I got here. No, he didn't have a little thingy out.
Oh, so it wasn't a busker or anything.
I live in the suburbs.
Just for the joy of playing a ukulele
literally,
outside the library?
That's what it was.
Oh, bless his heart.
That's what I said. I was like, this is the cutest thing I've stumbled upon. I won't engage it. I won't even talk to him. But in my head, it made my day. It was great. I don't know how we got here. I don't know where. Oh, singles week. Singles week.
So of course.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say ahoy or land ho and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
It's singles week. I also, can I say, I love Alexis's little t-shirt that she's wearing. I love that she asks Moira why Moira's not wearing a t-shirt, as if Moira has ever worn a t-shirt a single day in her life.
Yeah. Like, she knows her mother, right? Like, why is she asking? Alexis is too stressed and anxious.
Strashed.
And so stressed. Stressed and anxious. I got really paranoid about saying it again there. I'm like, no. And so, of course, she's not on guard against Moira's Moiraisms.
Yeah. She look at she is straight about everything going on with both Singles Week and everything, like the fallout of what happened with Ted. I think she's just like, I have enough on my plate. Like, why don't you have the locks and keys? Get going. What's going on? And yeah, like you could tell her heart is broken, right? Like she has this whole speech about how she thought she had found the perfect lock for her key, but then it like didn't work out and all this other stuff. And meanwhile, and I want to pivot a little bit to talk about like David, and we'll get back to the Alexis and Ted of it all, because I almost kind of want to go chronologically a little bit just because it makes sense to here.
Yeah.
Where David is tasked with delivering outfits for the puppies to wear during Singles Week for the puppy adoption thing.
I'm still gonna need someone to explain this to me. I'm still not on board with singles adopting.
Can I pitch it to you? Because I feel like I have a good pitch for this.
Go for it.
I think, because this is Singles Week, right? It's not a Singles Day. Singles Week. So you're spending an entire week trying to find people you connect with. I feel like, let's pretend Singles Week starts on like a Monday, all right? Let's pretend it's now Friday, and you've been at this all week. You haven't really matched with anybody. You're not really feeling the vibes of anybody.
That's
right?
So unrealistic. I'm just so charming.
Please, I would have three numbers by then.
We're at Friday.
You haven't really matched with anybody, and it's Friday. You're feeling a little down about yourself. You're feeling a little lonely. Now we hold an adoption thing where not only can you like meet and play with like puppies, maybe kittens are there too, but you also, like, if you are a person who loves animals like me, I think seeing other people interact with animals would help you both bond with them and make sure that they're a good fit for you. Like, I would never have ever dated someone who didn't like dogs. And also, if you really are lonely, perhaps you find an animal as a companion that like helps with that. Like, I do think it's a good idea. And I do think cute sweaters does help.
No pet adoption should be done on a whim, and you cannot get people who are emotionally vulnerable and single and really sad because they're single and replace that with a pet. Pet adoption should be an informed choice. No, I just get really, really irate when people just adopt a pet. This is cruelty. Wait, Ted should have his license revoked.
Whoa. I understand what you're saying in terms of, yes, you should be prepared. You shouldn't just adopt a dog and then not know who's going to let it out, who's going to feed it, all those things, right? Obviously, you should be prepared. I do think there is something here, though, even if it's just playing with the puppies, even if not a single dog gets adopted, I do think there is something there about watching. It breaks the ice, too. Maybe if you put it earlier in the week, I feel like I'd be way easier to have a conversation with a person I don't know, like a stranger, if there's puppies around. Like, you always are going to find ways to talk when there's puppies.
Yeah. I love that I'm the one that's asked for an explanation. Yeah, I think I've just come up with my actual explanation of what this is. The whole point of Singles Week, obviously, is promote Schitt's Creek as a town and like to have like the town thrive. This is just promoting, like, I guess, the adoption services that Ted's like veterinary like place or like deals with as well, and it's probably like an advertising thing, much like I imagine that like Bob's Garage is like around and like the motel and stuff like that. That's probably more of the explainer, but I just don't like the idea of like the way they refer to it as if it's like one of the activities, like the lock and key event, oh, adopt a puppy event, and then just meet someone there. Cut that out. Just a bit of clarity.
It's fair. I do just think that like having dogs around automatically breaks the ice in a way.
That would,
you know, like it would for me at least. Anyone who likes animals, I feel like it would be helpful. But yeah, David brings over these sweaters. He tries to drop them off without Ted noticing. They end up having a heart to heart, which I love because, Stuart, you know me, I love when we get these odd pairings that we don't see much.
Yep.
And Ted and David is a prime example of one that works so well. David is not a person, I don't think any of us would say, is like has much empathy for others all the time, right? Like he's fairly like Moira, he's fairly self-involved, but he gives such good advice here. I love this. And I love that it takes Ted being like, I broke up with Heather. And he's like, I guess I'm going to stay then. I love it. I think it's so sweet. And I love how David says for the past like 6 months, she's brought you up every single day. Like he's telling Ted things that Ted doesn't know. And I love that he said, because we now know, Stuart, it's been like 2 years roughly that they've been at Schitt's Creek. And he says like, she's grown, she's changed. Like she's not the same person that she was when you guys first dated. She knows she made a mistake. David is the perfect person because he does admit like, yeah, she still is a little self-involved and all these other things, but she does love you and that's real. And she knows she shouldn't have made a mistake. And I love him connecting to Ted and being like, I've been burnt too, but don't let that stop you from like living your life and being in love and being with someone.
It's just the whole, yeah, she's different now. Not that different, but different enough to know that she made a mistake. That was just a great way of punctuating it, because it's like, yeah, it's the same Alexis. It's the same Alexis that he loved back then. And she's different in a way that is mature enough to realize that she effed up and that she has grown up and learned from that as well. And yeah, the whole... So you've been burned a couple of times. It's like, have we met? David is the way he is because of everything to do with that. Just the excuse to have a pairing that we don't get is wonderful. I love it when we do get this, where two characters that really just, I don't think we've ever had a real David and Ted situation.
They had the dinner party, but they weren't the only two there. You know, like there really haven't been many David and Ted moments, and they're so different. So like it is interesting to watch them interact. I love him being like, you know how many off-road dirt bike tours I had to take? It's like, I've never been on a dirt bike. it's so funny. But yeah, he does say like she's different now. And he says sometimes it does work out, even though everything inside of us is telling us to protect ourselves. When you've got it, don't let it go. And I love it because I love David having the realization that the advice he's giving Ted, he also should be taking that advice with Patrick. I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it. Everyone knows I love Patrick. Duh. But him knowing that, him telling David he loves him is going to make David's day harder, but he has to say it anyway. I love it so much. It's literally perfect.
That dynamic at the beginning was just so, so, so good. Because, again, it's another instance of Patrick trolling the ever-loving shit out of David. And David just having to take it on the chin because he's doing it from a complete and utter place of love. This is goals, I think, because it's like, I think everyone wants like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just absolutely revealing something about myself that is way too personal for this podcast. But like, I think everyone kind of wants someone that is just there to like, tease them a little bit occasionally.
Yeah.
And like, kind of like, because I think that's just the nature of everything. It's like, you gotta have someone just poking you in the right way. There's just enough.
Nudging it's not him uncomfortable. In the right direction.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's nudging him in the right direction. Because I think if you look at it a different way, if Patrick doesn't say I love you and doesn't put himself out there and just holds it in, it builds resentment of like, why isn't he saying it? Like, you know what I mean? Instead, Patrick does such a lovely thing, which is, I know this is going to stress you out. However, I love you and I needed to say it. I need to say this and you tell me when you're ready. And that, I loved him also saying like, I'm not putting stress on you to say it back, but you will say it when you're ready. And that's okay. And then him saying, you're my Mariah Carey.
The revelation that David has only ever said it to his parents and a Mariah Carey concert. To Mariah Carey, like, must be right. Like, not to anyone else in attendance.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And like, yeah, you're my Mariah Carey. is just so great because he's saying it again in a lovely way, but it's mocking David a little bit.
Yeah.
But David is too, I think, like sideswiped by it coming out of nowhere, seemingly, and is like, that compliment could bring me to tears, which was just incredible. I love the fact that as well, like, in the explanation of like, I've only ever said it to my parents, and then Patrick is like, and on the Mariah Carey concert, like he knew, because
yeah, they've had this conversation. Yeah,
they've been together long enough now that they are like, this is a like the relationship's baked, like it's there and stuff. They've been through a bit of hardship, they've weathered it, they come out stronger than I think they have, and I think that there's no real signs of like major cracks or anything. It's a good cook. It's a good cook going on right now.
It's everything. Because I love the way this... I think the thing is, Stuart, I think if I had asked you, you probably would have said, yes, Ted and Alexis get together this episode. Like, it's the seeds have been planted. We've been moving in that direction.
Yeah.
I don't think you would have expected to get the Patrick and David stuff we got. Because it's not... They're already dating, right? Like, it's not a big surprise, but it is a big step. For them to exchange I love yous. And I love the entirety of their relationship. I totally agree with you. I'm also someone who thinks like teasing is kind of a part of a relationship. You need someone that, yes, you're comfortable with, but also pushes you in ways to like, to make you grow, to make you change. And
just challenges you in small but meaningful ways. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way Patrick is with David. And so then to have David immediately come back in after this conversation with Ted and tell Patrick he loves him. And it's just so sweet. And then on top of that, for then Patrick to immediately be like, this would be so much better if I had tea.
I think we know our MVP of the episode, everyone. I'm just going to spoil it now. I just the whole, want to get me a tea while you're out? I mean, should be a given if David loved Patrick. Like, that should have been, shouldn't even have been a question. Like, should be default behavior.
Mm-hmm. But
just go, okay, I will get you a tea. Yeah. And of course, as much as the emotional stuff is there, you got to, where's the tea? Like, yeah. That is probably front of mind of, like, the whole conversation. Like, yeah, I love you. Okay, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that.
But what about
tea, David? Where's the tea?
I pulled this just for you, Stuart.
My dream, I'm holding a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, I am.
There you go. And then we also, I love David being like, oh, fuck. He's like, no, I don't. He's like, no, I'm going. And then, of course, I think it's perfect because this also is the reason he ends up at the cafe to witness everything with Ted and Alexis. So it's just perfect. And, like, again, I think while we know the Ted and Alexis stuff is coming, you could see it from a mile away. I think what really is an extra punch to the gut is not just the David and Patrick stuff, but the fact that a conversation between David and Ted is what kind of results in both of these couples taking these massive steps forward. I absolutely adore it. And then, the Ted moment. Oh my God. Oh, this is what love stories are about. Okay. This is why all of us have unrealistic expectations when it comes to love and relationships. It's because of this, because Ted shows up and he sits down in front of her and he says, what did he say?
Hi, I'm Ted. I've already got two minutes.
I'm newly single, and I'd be kidding myself if I told you I haven't wanted to do this every single day for the last 2 years. She says, do what? And then they kiss and everyone like claps.
Up and it goes silent. Like, everyone is just on bated breath, just waiting to see what happens. And then, yeah, when they kiss, it's just so adorable. And then some mother effer ruins it. The one that stood right next to him
Twyla.
Goes in for Twyla. I mean, shoot your shot. I mean, I can't blame you, but
I just not love in that. This no, moment, thank you.
Yeah.
Twyla was like, no, thank you. Thank you. It's everything. I love this. Like, Annie Murphy and also Dustin. Like, they're so cute. And the way they acted is like, It's just everything. I don't know what else to do besides squee because I love it so, so much.
Yeah. It's just, we know it's been coming. Like, part of my hesitation with much of Alexis's story, like, because I was worried that Alexis would just be there as a vessel for a relationship, as oftentimes female characters in shows are. They're just there to be in like another half to a really boring written male character. And this is, I think, different because they've built history with everything. They've made the relationship count. They've given both characters very kind of like good plots on their own. They feel like fully rounded individuals who happen to fancy the pants off each other and love each other. And I love the way in which it has taken a slow burn approach to this. And yeah, okay, we've had some cliche moments, like with Alexis, like going off on a date with his rival, and like we've had those kind of tropes, but they've always been kind of skewed in a way that's not been too cliche. And it's always been with a really kind of unique perspective. And I just love the fact that we do get a bit of a tropey, gushy, lovely moment of just, oh, they finally got together, because it feels so much more earned. And it feels so much better for it. I was screaming when this happened. I've actually found my little messages when I was watching, and it was like, all caps, he broke up with Heather, screaming. Yeah. And then, and then when I got to the end, my only response when they actually kissed was just, the GIF! Just David clapping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so perfect. It's everything. It's a lovely finale. Schitt's Creek knows how to finale. Okay.
Yes.
It took the directions, and it was like, you got it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. This is your finale.
Yep. We didn't know how to fold in the cheese, but we know how to dish it up. Like, it's all good.
Exactly. Exactly. I do have one tiny moment I need to discuss before we get into feedback. And it is the fact that Bob is literally just feeding Gwen the goss. Talk about a couple goals.
Bob was an absolute fiend this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, for being an absolute gossip fiend, but then also being diabolical to Johnny and just being like, what was it? Called him a,
he called him a snake
a bit much, but then, certainly, like,
he's definitely slippery.
Yeah. Like, what the hell, Bob?
Standing right here, Bob.
Yeah. Outrageous.
It's
like,
so
as much
funny.
As I love to like point out when Johnny is not being as good of a Johnny as he could be, I'm sorry, but Bob, that's so uncalled for. Like, we can insult Johnny. Fuck
so
off, mate.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it, mostly because I'm just picturing Gwen on the other side, like, you get me that gossip, Bob, or you're sleeping in the car again. Like,
yeah, you lost me Christmas world, and now this? You're going to get me the gossip.
I love it so. I love the use of the side characters in this show, and the Bob moment and the Twyla moment where she's just like, no thanks. Mm-hmm. So good.
And it's the way in which their relationship has progressed as well. Like, Bob had asked Johnny to speak at his brother's funeral, and now it's at the point where he's like accused him of cheating at poker, calls him a snake, and say that he's very kind of like slippery. Like, the way in which that's kind of evolved is, again, small little touches makes this show great.
It's perfect. All right, shall we get into some feedback that we got on this episode? Jared says, Johnny did nothing wrong. Roland should be the one responsible for making sure he has his phone before he leaves. What do you think of this opinion, Stuart?
Disagree. It was confiscated from him. He didn't know when he could take it back. I'm going to stick up for my boy. I gave him MVP last week. I feel like I've got an obligation to be good to Roland.
Uh-huh. I agree with Jared. I think that after the meeting is over, Roland's responsible for just grabbing the phone that's on the table in front of him before he leaves the room. You know,
it's a very I think also like quite a teacherly thing of just, well, if you weren't playing on it, I wouldn't be confiscating it. So maybe don't do that in the future.
I just got an all caps message from the world's biggest Johnny fan, my husband Will. It's Roland's phone. It's his responsibility. So if you want to know his opinion.
I love that. I love that Will's hearing one half of this conversation, and yet he still knows everything that's going on.
Oh, he knows what's happening. Yeah, he knows.
Oh, yeah.
We also got a message from Aaron. Alexis is just the sweetest angel in the world, and I just love this journey for her. P.S. I think the funniest 2 seconds of this whole show is the cut of Jocelyn driving herself to the hospital.
Yeah, I was so happy when it did happen as well, because I was like there the whole time. I was like, my messages, I was like, is Moira in the backseat? And then the next one, all caps, oh my God, she is.
Because if you look at it just right, you're like, wait a minute, where's the steering wheel? Like, what is happening?
Yeah. And it's also like, she's on her phone, like, she should be driving. Like,
yeah, it's perfect.
So funny. Such a good gag as well, especially one that they didn't really linger on. Like, it panned forward, Jocelyn is there screaming, driving, and it just cuts away. And that's it's like, nice and sweet. Yeah.
All right, let's give out our ratings. This is a tough one for the Simply the Best this week.
Yeah.
Like, because you could argue that 3-4 characters should get it. Like, if I'm just looking through, I feel like, okay. We have Moira for being with Jocelyn during the birth of her baby. We have David for the conversation with Ted and opening up to Patrick. Alexis for throwing a fantastic singles week and also getting Ted in the end. We could go with Jocelyn for literally pushing a baby out of her vagina. Bob for hot goss with Gwen. Patrick for loving David. There's Ted for showing up for Alexis.
Patrick for requesting a tea.
Patrick for requesting a tea. There's so many options here. So I'm going to go to you first, Stuart.
Yeah, I know who mine is. No questions.
Okay, who is it?
For me, I don't think it could be... I mean, there are many people up for contention, yes. But for me, the one that just gets out ahead is the one that makes all the things join up together, and it's going to be David. Because if it wasn't for David giving Ted the little speech that he had to give, we wouldn't have got that moment. If it wasn't for David recognizing in Alexis earlier in the season that she was still in love with Ted, I don't think we would have got this happen as it has all unfolded. Like, I don't think there would have been that kind of realization, this self-reflection. I'm giving it to David.
I'm having a tough time with this one just because I love the Alexis story arc so much. I love the growth narrative she's had, really this season. I feel like it's been her season. But I do agree. I think David wins because he has two things. He both has this conversation with Ted, which is really important and possibly the game changer. Like, it's possible that Ted doesn't act on anything without this conversation. Yep. And then he also is able to have the emotional maturity to realize I need to take my own advice and go have this conversation with Patrick. So because we could have seen David run. Like, that's probably what his gut instinct is to do, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's massive for a character like David. So I agree. I just want to say I love Alexis, and I appreciate her this episode and everything that happens with her. I think that I don't want to give her a point because I think I'd be rewarding her for her entire journey this season, not just for this solo episode where I think David really has been the one to earn it.
Yeah, completely. And just on a thought I just had just now is that made me remember is that I want to give Ted some props as well for breaking up with Heather. Because what he did is broke up with Heather after Alexis had revealed how she felt. But he then stuck with it and wasn't really going to act on it. And I like that because it makes the whole thing so much less messy, because it's Alexis talks to him. He understands that he still has these feelings because it's making him feel things. And then he's like, that's not fair on Heather. I'm going to break up with her because she doesn't deserve that.
Yes.
But then he doesn't immediately jump onto Alexis and go into old habits because he still has those reservations. And also, it's not as if he dumped Heather to just get with Alexis. And so
much
David
in media, we see the other way around. We see them, okay, she revealed her feelings. Now I want to be with her. Let me make sure she wants to be with me before I break up with my girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like the David conversation then has, like, it means so much more then, because it really is the catalyst, like you said. Like, if it wasn't for this, probably may not have happened. So, yeah, I just want to give the writing for Ted there just a bit of props, because it just makes it so much more elegant.
Yes, it really does. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's give out a disgruntled pelican point. Listen, if I am 9 months pregnant and my husband allows another person to take his cell phone away, and I don't think to myself, hey, maybe I should keep my cell phone on me in case my wife goes into labor. This is on Roland. This is on Roland for not keeping an eye on his freaking cell phone when his wife is pregnant. I'm giving it, there's like barely anybody else I could give it to. I could give it to the random guy who tries to kiss Twyla. Don't know that man's name, so I can't do that. Like, who else is there that does something that you would be ashamed of this episode? Like, no one. So it's Roland for me. Keep your phone on you when your wife is 9 months pregnant, you dillweed.
Wow. Do you know, you make a really good point. You really do make a really good point. The problem is Johnny took the phone. And I'm going to blame Johnny.
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Because it's not in school. He's an adult. If he's not doing what you need to do at work, you don't take it away from him and put it on silent. You just say, Roland, put the phone down and you're fired. Like, you want this job?
Put your phone down or you're fired.
Exactly. So, be a boss, be mature about it, and tell him to put it down. You don't take away someone's phone like you're in school. Cut that out. That's some, full-on bad boss behavior, and I'm not going to reward bad capitalist boss Johnny. Like, he's an awful, he's not an awful person. He's a lovely person. But I mean, maybe it's for the joke, but I'm giving it to Johnny.
Okay. Well, in 2 weeks' time, when we go through our season 4 wrap up, we'll find out who are the winners and losers of these awards. But
I feel like I've been ballot stuffing this year.
See what happens. But of course, first, we have to tier rank our episode. Hot shit, full bouquet. I love that journey for me. Ew, David, shit, out of luck. Of course, right now, our full bouquet is pretty darn full. So what do you think, Stuart? Where does your gut tell you to put this one?
Is there really a question? Hot shit.
We have to
top of the pile. Teams. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. We're doing a podcast here. I don't know.
Let me think about it.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny was really kind of, stole the phone, and Bob was really mean. And I guess
Bob was great.
And he didn't jog. He didn't give us a Bob jog.
Oh, if he doesn't jog soon, I'm not going to make it. No, this is the top of the pile. It's the number one. It's number one. It's the best. It's incredible. Yeah. It's high. We have it higher than open mic and pregnancy test. I think for obvious reasons, I think every single storyline hits, and there are multiple warm and fuzzy moments and multiple moments you're dying laughing. Like, how is it not number one? I don't know how it's not. It is.
Yeah. No questions. Like, I knew it immediately upon finishing. I was like, this is the best episode of the season. I mean, unsurprising, we know that Schitt's Creek do finales so well.
I just think the season is good. We have one more episode before we finish out the season. And that it is a little special. Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose. So we'll talk about that one next week, of course, with the number one Johnny apologist, Johnny lover, however you want to phrase it. My husband loves Johnny so much. And then after that, we'll wrap up season 4 before diving into season 5, the penultimate season of Schitt's Creek. Can you believe it?
I can't. It's going so quickly.
Yeah.
We've been doing this over a year now, Jess, and it's flown by. Of course, like it feels silly to like get a bit reflective because we're not finished with the season yet. Like we do still have the special, we do still have the wrap up, but still, look at us. Who's this?
Yeah. No, it's been so fun. I mean, we'll talk about it obviously in the wrap up when we talk about this season as compared to the other seasons, but I think you can feel just like they're firing on all cylinders, and it feels unusual to me as a lover of sitcoms for like the fourth season to be the season that is like the freaking best. Like most of the time shows are losing steam by now. And I feel like Schitt's Creek is like, nah, they're firing on all cylinders. They know what they are. They know how to write these characters, and they're showing it's almost like the tiny incremental moments of growth are just adding up and adding up for all these characters to really be like, all of a sudden we look around and we're like, holy shit, we're in season four and everyone is incredible.
It's just so great to see. And also, like I've been saying it the whole time as well, because every time we've had a guest on, everyone's been like, oh, it gets better and better. It just gets better and better. And I was like really skeptical at first, and then things did start getting better and better. And it's like it's just snowballing. And it makes me more and more worried that, like, I don't know, maybe season five or six is gonna be a stinker. But based on what everyone has said, that it's absolutely not, and it lands everything so brilliantly. I'm just like, I just resent the fact that I have to wait week on week to watch every new episode. It's torturous.
Good news is, as soon as we're done here, you can watch the special. You could celebrate Christmas in March. So get excited about that. In the meantime, if you're a fan of The Last of Us and you've seen the trailer for season two, it's coming up soon. Check out our podcast, Look for the Light, because we're talking about every season of episode one leading up to season two. We're going to have some between season bonus content where we talk about the full game two before season two comes out. We'll talk about the trailer, all that fun stuff. So if you're looking for something grittier, darker, sadder, not the podcast isn't sad, but the game really sad. Go check out Look for the Light. That's where you can also listen to us. If simply an hour a week is not enough for you of us, go check out that podcast. I don't know if there's as much conversation about what's British and what's American over there. We may do that sometimes. I can't remember. But Walkies is now something I will be using.
We just start shoehorning in some Britishisms. Like, yes. Why is Joel not going for Walkies? Like, what the hell?
Still can't get over Walkies. So yeah, in the meantime, follow us everywhere at Talkin' Shit. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, because once we get to 200 subscribers, something good's
Jess
gonna
is
happen.
Getting waterboarded.
I'm not getting waterboarded.
I'm changing it. I'm getting rid of the we. Yeah,
now we're guaranteed that now. I alone have to be waterboarded. Yeah. But until next week, everyone, warmest regards
and best wishes.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.